Blog Talk Radio.
Sidekick Publications is the newest place for all your martial arts informational needs. My Karate, Introduction to American Wadaru, Martial Arts Guide to Success, History of Japanese Martial Arts, Taizanru Taiho Jitsu, and the new Martial Directory. With martial art master instructors like Michael DePasquale Jr., Joe Miller, Alan Woodman, and many more. Everything for martial arts enthusiasts, techniques, shiatsu, history, all in one place. Available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, and bookstores near you. Also available on digital downloads for Kindle and ebook readers. Visit our website at www.sidekickpublication.com and order your books today. Remember, Sidekick Publications, all the action you can read.
Shotokan Karate, the ancient Japanese martial art of self-defense. Come to the Dento Takina Dojo, the headquarters of the International Karate Do Association. 381 Canal Place, Suite 203, Bronx, New York. Learn traditional Shotokan Karate from certified black belt instructors from the U.S. and Japan. Kata, Kumite, and Culture, official training center of the New York Guardian Angels. Kids, teens, and adult classes available. Call 917-383-8787 for more information. Dento Takina Dojo, headquarters for the International Karate Do Association, 381 Canal Place, Suite 203. Call 917-383-8787. Come get your karate on.
The Martial Arts History Museum is the first of its kind in the world, and it only exists with your support. Give generously to the museum and always listen to Sidekick Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the program, Martial Arts Talk Radio. I'm your host, Danny Venna. Today is Friday, January 11th, 2013. Our first shout-out goes to Sidekick Talk Radio with Shihan Alan Woodman, the host, and the co-host, Sensei Timmy Brisk. And that show airs every Wednesday at 12 noon, every Sunday at 6 p.m. for 2 hours each show. And to speak to the host, you can dial 347-237-4818. Our next shout-out goes to Sifu Alan Goldberg with Action Power Hour radio show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. And to speak to the host, Sifu Alan Goldberg, you can dial 713-955-0323. We have a caller from the 405 area code. Please introduce yourself.
Hey, Hanchi, how are you? It's Daryl.
I just got off of one program with you, and now you're on my program. Wow. Hey, listen, thanks for the support. Thanks for calling in tonight.
No problem.
Go with them, huh?
Yeah, hopefully you had a good time tonight.
I did. I actually learned a few things about, you know, what we spoke about, what our responsibility is as high-ranking masters now in our style. I like being called the first generation to be charged with the fact that we have to document now what these men gave us, men and women, gave us to teach all these years now. And now that we're at this stage in our journey to actually now put down formally, and I like doing it, as I said on the program, you know, with the help of others, people that are around me, and some of them are very good writers, believe me, to help me in any way that they can and put in their influence based on the information that we've been transferring all these years. Now, we have one other caller from a 980 area code. Let's see who this is. Please introduce yourself. 980 area code.
Hi, oh, yeah, this is Lucky Manzoni.
Oh, how are you, Lucky?
Is this Mr. Vayner?
Yes, it is.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Good.
What is,
I wanted to call in. I thought that you had a little talk show tonight, and I wanted to call in and see how you guys were doing.
Wow, what a surprise.
How have you been, sir?
I've been enjoying my time here in North Carolina. As you know, I just got here.
Yeah.
So I'm meeting a lot of new people, working on some new tasks here, taking on some new challenges in my new home, which, you know, when you move to a new place, trying to fit in and, I guess, you know, find your way takes
exactly.
a little bit of time. But I'm really having some fun doing it. So we have on the wire Grandmaster Daryl Sargent, and I don't know if he would really remember me, but I do remember you when you were young, and his name is Lucky Mangione. His father, Carl Mangione, an Ishin Ryu practitioner under the lineage of Don Bohan. So, like I said, it's such a surprise. I never expected to hear your voice.
Well, I saw your post, and I thought I'd call in to say hello and see how you were doing and everything, and check out your talk show. It sounds pretty cool, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of different martial artists that will be calling you and discussing different topics and everything. So, you know, this is kind of a nice thing. I wanted to thank you as well, personally, for the things that you did after my father had passed away. With most and everything. It was a very honorable thing to do, and I wanted to personally thank you.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because just the other day we celebrated 2 years that Sensei has left us, and we've celebrated his life in such a great way over that time. And thank you for mentioning, you know, what I did for Dad. But
absolutely. And for those that don't know what you did, you know, you promoted my father, you know, with the help of some other grandmasters, postpartumly, to the level of Judan, 10th degree black belt for Ishin Ryu, which is, to me, is unheard of a lot of times in the system. This is one of the strongest systems in the world, in my opinion. And, you know, you don't get to meet many people that have, you know, gained that level of experience. You know, I've been in martial arts my entire life. You know, I used to tell people, you know, I woke up and I would breathe and eat and sleep it because of who my father was. And I grew up around a lot of great people. I grew up around, you know, meeting Don Bohan, Sensei Bohan, Papa-san, and Sensei Nagel when he was alive, and, you know, Sensei Larry Isaacs. I can name hundreds of people that some people have never even heard of. And I had the privilege to grow up around these people and learn from these people. And just, you know, I was like a sponge as a kid. And growing up with my dad was, it can be tough at times, you know, because he had that Marine Corps mentality. But he was a loving person, and he loved martial arts more than anything in the world besides his children. It was his life, and it's what he did as long as I can remember. So just knowing that someone, you know, appreciated what he did is for his family, and especially for me, is a great honor to know that.
And the karate that he gave us through his lineage, it's funny, when I came to North Carolina, I was lucky enough to judge your brother in a tournament. yeah, I don't know if he told you the story, but what had happened was, you know, he was competing against some pretty stiff competitors, and he hadn't done it in a while, so he was a little nervous.
Yeah.
But to see him do it the way he did it brought back such fond memories of your father performing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why we celebrate his life, because look at what he gave us. Look at what he instilled in us. Look at what you just said about him, that I live it. It's part of my blood. I mean, I've been doing it since, you know, I can remember. So that's what
long, long I remember, yeah. It's amazing what you don't forget either. Me and my brother haven't done it in years. And, you know, we competed for a very long time with my dad. It was so funny. You know, my dad used to get really upset with us because, you know, as kids growing up, we wanted to play sports in school. And our father didn't really allow us to. His way of life was, you come home, you do your homework, you work out, you do martial arts. And when we woke up, we did martial arts. It was always about training and working out and being the best Ichiru Karateka you could be. And he would get mad sometimes if we didn't practice. So our punishment would be if we didn't practice, then he would purposely make us go to a tournament and wouldn't let us work out for weeks at a time, and we should go there. And Andy would win the first place in all the katas, and I would win the first place in all the fight divisions. And he would get so mad knowing that, you know, he's like, well, you didn't practice for a month. How can you win this stuff, you know? And we were like, Dad, you know, we grew up with you. It's like you wake up and you just know it, you know?
Yes.
It's like second nature.
And that's why I did what I did for him, because I happen to know that. I happen to know that about your dad. So how better to justify his life in that now that goes down in the history books forever, that Carl Mangione was elevated to the rank of Juden by Ed McGrath. You know, that's just, yes, it is an honor, but it is a exclamation point from all of the people that appreciated what he did, and his contribution is the reason why we did what we did. And when I mentioned it to my sensei, it was a no-brainer. It was no problem. Get the documents ready, and we'll certainly do it. And I actually went to Amy Jo's, and I gave her the certs. But thank you so much for calling in. We have two new callers here. We have a 631. I believe that's Greg Melita. Say hello, Greg.
Yes, how you doing tonight, guys? Glad to be on the show.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Good.
How are you?
Doing well.
That's Grandmaster Daryl Sargent who just said hello, Greg.
Oh, wow. That's a pleasure.
You know, we just had a program where we were talking about is the pen mightier than the sword? Was the topic of discussion. So let's keep it going. Grandmaster Daryl Sargent, give us your take on what happened tonight on the show.
Sophia Sankalik, one of the most senior students under Dr. Moses Powell, ninth Dan under Dr. Powell. It was his show, Making the Connection, on docradio.net, and we discussed, is the pen mightier than the sword? And we talked about, is it more powerful to write in regard to the legacy and the techniques and the philosophies and culture of the arts that we teach and train and study? Or is it just the physical realm that's more important, the training and the conditioning and the fighting? Is that most important? And basically, the consensus of the senior masters was that the pen is truly mightier than the sword for the leaving of the legacy, in a variety of different fashions, and in the spiritual realm, in the physical realm, in the philosophical realm, all those things. We talked about Grandmaster Urban and his book and how significant the writing of that book was, as well as Shidoshi Ron Van Cleef and his books, Grandmaster Wally J and his books, Grandmaster George Kirby and his books, and so many others that wrote books, and their legacy will still remain on long after they have made their transition.
So now we have two very young martial artists on the wire, Lucky Mangione and Greg Melita. Let's pick Lucky first. Lucky, what's your take on that? As you go through your martial arts journey, you become old like me, you want to leave something behind that says this is what my dad did, my dad got karate from this guy, so on and so forth. So to leave a legacy of your trail behind you, how do you feel about that?
I feel it is important. It's important for the generations to come. You know, I am young. I mean, I'm 38 years old. I've been around a lot of great martial artists. I've met a lot of great ones like Wally J. I've met Ron Van Cleef when I was younger. I mean, this one, I was a really young kid. I'm really getting into martial arts. And, you know, when you're young, you're like a sponge. You soak up all this information. You know, you see all this stuff. You know, you see things in tournaments, you see things on TV and movies. One thing my father always instilled in, not just me, but his class in general, was that you really don't learn martial arts until you become a black belt. And for the longest time, I didn't get that until I became one. And then you start learning all these new and adventurous things, you know, that you they were always there. You just didn't have your mind as open as it was when you were younger. And, you know, you read about things, and your, my father would make us do reports on different, you know, different martial artists in our systems. And, you know, our system was Ichin Ryu, and he was a firm believer of that whole, I guess, the hard and soft styles, that he felt that was equally important to have both. So with a pen and the sword, in my opinion, I feel like it's equally important that, you know the physical aspects of martial arts, but the mental aspects are just as important as the other one, because you can't live without the other. You have to have both to have an equal balance and stuff. So, you know, for me and what I've done in my lifetime, I hope that, you know, as I get older, that I can pass that, you know, legacy to my son and my daughter and other generations that have never heard about some of these people. Because nowadays, young kids see this MMA stuff, they see the movie stuff, and these guys are actors. They're not the true martial artists as I know, and that's why I think it's important to keep that legacy alive, because the younger generation after me is going to need to know who these people were, because these are the people that made martial arts what it is today. They're the real Donald Bohans, the Don Nagels, the Wally Jays, the Jim Irvins, the Larry Isaacs. These guys made martial arts, in my opinion, especially in this area of North Carolina.
Awesome. Thank you for that, Lucky. Greg, what's your take on it?
I like that topic a lot, and I definitely agree with everything that has been said so far. You know, I definitely think a balance of the two is equally important. You can't have one without the other, without a doubt. And, you know, I definitely, in my experience, I really think that, you know, like I said, both is really important, but leaving that legacy and leaving your take on and really explaining your experience is definitely the key point. Because you got to really leave a perspective from, you know, and your take. And the whole idea is for people to read what we experienced, you know. And I think perspective is everything, you know. And that's going to give a real big perspective, you know, for that legacy. But definitely a healthy balance of both is definitely how I believe in it, without a doubt.
And then the next question that Soke asked was, do you think it should be a requirement? We'll start with Lucky first. What do you say, Lucky? Do you think it should be a requirement of all senior dons in whatever discipline you come from to actually document your legacy as a requirement? Lucky, you go first.
Yeah, I think it is important. I think it is important that you do that for a few reasons. One, you gotta make sure people know, you know, where you're coming from, and what you've learned, you know, your experiences, because nobody wants to take martial arts from somebody that, you know, I hate to say this, but it's a BS. And I've met many BSers in my life where they said they're like, you know, 2-3 black belts, you know, and they've trained under this person, and I've never even heard of them. And, you know, and I have the experience from growing up, from the greatest martial arts in history, that I know who is who the legit people are. So, yeah, I think it's important, because you don't want your children or your grandchildren take martial arts from people that have no idea what they're doing. So for them to record the things that they're doing and the legacy that they have and pass that on, it's a piece of our history. I mean, I can trace my lineage back to Shimabuka Sensei from the people I've learned from, you know, from my father, from Don Nagel, from Don Bohan, to Ed McGrath. I mean, I can sit there and say, hey, yes, I'm a this generation Ichin Ryu's, and I have the proof to show it to you, and my father is this person, and his teacher is this person, and you got to have that. When you don't have that, then you're just another commercialized martial arts school, and that's something my father was very much against. Is he did not believe in commercialized school. When you came to my dad's school, if you want to learn real martial arts, he shook your hand, and that was the deal. You shook his hand, and he charged you a minimal amount of money, and sometimes he didn't charge people. He would say, hey, people come to my dad and say, I don't have the money this month to pay. My dad said, don't worry, but just come in class and sweep the floors. And that's how it was, and that's how it should be sometimes. But it's a new generation. You know, people have to make money and make a living. But my dad was from the old school ways, and I like that, and I enjoy that, and that's what I miss the most about martial arts.
And Grandmaster Daryl Sergeant, will you answer that question for us? Will you give us, you know, basically you already answered the question on the other program, but do you think it's a requirement and that it should be a requirement for us to write our legacy?
Yes, it is. From a standpoint of I look at my situation with my teachers. I look at Dr. Powell. I look at Grandmaster Billy Davis. I look at other ones, too, who I've had the opportunity to train with. And because of them not having a lot of stuff documented, there's so much lost. But then I look at Shidoshi Van Cleef, Grandmaster Peter Urban, that took the time to write their books and write the knowledge of the system that they developed. And within that, there is now going to be there's a legacy that's left. Those that have made their transition, like Grandmaster Urban, but even those that are still writing, like Shidoshi Van Cleef, who just completed a book. So I think that it's imperative that we do that to keep alive the pioneers, you know, the first generation of those who came from the armed services, and that they took so much in regard to bringing the knowledge back to us. So, yes, I do believe that it's imperative that we do that.
And then, Sensei Melita, would you also answer that question? Do you think it should be a requirement that once you reach a certain level in your art that you are required to document your journey? Answer that question for us, Sensei Melita.
Sure. I'm going to put a different perspective on that. I don't think it should be required as much as encouraged. Because I believe that once you reach that level, your legacy is going to be quite enough to be written about, you know, without having it to be a requirement. You know what I mean? I feel like a requirement might be a forced type of thing. But then I could also see the other point where a lot of people don't have their legacies written because they didn't write it. You know, so I can definitely see both sides to it, without a doubt. So that's my take on that.
Grandmaster Daryl Sergeant, you heard my answer when I answered that question on the other program. And basically, I gave the same answer. I would like to do it with a team member on my team, and Greg is definitely one of the people on my team. So you sort of get the flavor that we come from the same ilk, from the same school of thought. Listening to Greg's answer and now listening to my answer, I get the same connotation that, you know, when I was asked if it was required, I said, well, I'd like to do it on the honor system where, you know, because I just think that word required, it's a strong word. In other words, you have to do this now. It's not an option.
Yeah, I think if it's a legacy that's worth written, there's going to be enough people to convince them to write about it.
Right. I agree. Now, so just to be clear, Sensei Melita, is your answer yes or no on the requirement issue?
No on the requirement, but definitely a yes on the encouragement for everybody that has that rank and level of attainment in the arts to, you know, document everything, without a doubt.
Cool. Just wanted to see how that was played out in your mind. Well, listen, we have 5 minutes left on the program, live on the air, and then, of course, we can continue for a couple of minutes afterwards and have that information uploaded as well. Grandmaster Daryl Sergeant, I have a question for you.
Yes.
You mentioned tonight on the program about your spiritual journey being the focal point that you will use to document your journey. Tell us a little bit about that, because you really intrigued me with the way you intertwined your martial arts journey with your spiritual journey.
For me, they're all one.
I will tell you that from a young age, being out there fighting and doing all those things all over the East Coast, when I got to black belt and I began to move into other realms of the arts, one of the things that was told to me from a lot of the elders was they see all the physical, but they thought that I was very short on the spiritual side. And so they really pushed me into the development of my spiritual side. As I moved on in life, I experienced different spiritual belief systems, and today I practice a traditional African spirituality system. And within that, there is a lot that is based on what we call Iwapele, or character and integrity. And within my realms of martial arts, that is one of the biggest things that we push our students to develop, is their character and their integrity, to try to be as honorable as possible. And so in living your life, you have to live your life in the sense of trying to be as honorable as possible, doing the right things as possible, and making the creator first in all things. And so with that being said, I really pushed towards that in my personal walk, in my personal journey through the martial arts, and tried to embody that spirituality as a base for my whole life, whether it's within the martial arts or outside of it.
So now if I'm a parent, which I am, I have four children, if I was going to take my child to a school, and I basically walk into your dojo, Grandmaster Daryl Sergeant, and you give me that philosophy as your background, as what you're going to teach my child and how you're going to go about, you know, treating my child. The first thing that comes to my mind, because I am the parent of that child, that I would have no problem supporting your effort on the parent's end of it. Even though you're going to train my child, not only would I support my child, but I would support you for teaching my child because of what you just said.
Well, I would hope. I mean, the parents that I do have now in regard to their kids, they see those things within me. I do not push any religion. I just strictly push character and integrity, and I share with them from a spiritual platform that the appropriate ways of living with good character and integrity are the things that are going to push you forward in all the areas of your life. And so that is the correlation in part of my walk in my spirituality and the martial arts journey, because to me they are as one. The physical entity leads you to your spiritual path, to be your spiritual side anyway, because, you know, people don't realize Kung Fu only means hard work. And when we look at the training that we had from the pioneers, they really put us through the ringer. They really put us through some very stringent training. And so are you going to give up? Or are you going to allow your mental to take over your physical? Because we talk about martial arts being 90% mental. I kind of give a different format. I say that it's maybe 70% mental. There's the other 25% spiritual. And then the other 5% is actually physical, because it is your spiritual and your you know, the other area that really takes over your physical. If you don't have the other things and you give up, then all that physical stuff is not going to manifest anywhere.
Awesome.
I agree. Gentlemen, I'm going to have to go. I've got some things I'm required to do right now. I want to thank you all for letting me join in the conversation. Sensei Sergeant, it's good to hear your voice. It's been years since I've seen you in the tournaments. You were one of my father's favorite competitors, and I grew up, you know,
knowing you and watching you, it's been a long time since you've seen me. But
I didn't think anybody remembered me.
Oh yes, I remember exactly. I actually have pictures of you still competing in tournaments of my dad's karate tournaments. And coming to Burlington, North Carolina, I have pictures of actually you, me, and my brother, when we were younger kids. So yeah, I don't forget. Something that I don't do is I don't forget very often.
Well, thank you. Thank you for remembering me.
And Lucky, I got to say, thank you so much for calling in tonight and taking the time for us. What a surprise.
No, not a problem at all. And I will do it again sometime soon.
Thank you, Lucky.
Thank you. Have a great night, everybody.
Bye.
Take care.
Good night.
Wow, that's such a surprise for him to have called into the show and, spent his time with us. As for both of the guys that are left now, it's Greg, myself, and Grandmaster Daryl Sargent. The program that we participated in tonight with Sookie and Shion was just an eye-opener for me because it's so important that we do the right thing for our seniors, make sure that we document in detail what they gave us. Just a great topic tonight, and that's why I basically turned my show over to the same topic because I feel strongly about it.
Well, good. I mean, as who you are, I believe I read you're the inheritor to McGrath Sensei's expression, his organization. So I'm grateful for even the opportunity to be able to come on the show and share with you and to learn from you as well, because the whole thing with all of us is definitely to learn from each other.
Yeah, it's really starting to take shape now. You see that we're all starting to network now that I have access to all of the information, thanks to what you did with all the hosts the other night. We're building this nice circle of information, and I believe that this is the modern way, or one of the modern ways, of is the pen mightier than the sword. This is our pen. This is our documented proof, having other people call in and share and verify some of the misnomers that may be out there that we actually touch these people. So we have that visual experience and that physical experience with these great men and women, and now to actually leave a stamp on it and document it, talk about it in a way that you use your peers to, reinforce what has been practiced and what has transpired over the years. They are getting older now, and some of the ones that are still left are doing just that. They are documenting their lineage. And I believe that it should be a voluntary responsibility of every single one of us because it is a necessary way to leave no ambiguity. This is what happened. In my opinion, this is what my journey gave me because I learned and I took the time to learn what those people gave us, their teachings. And again, Sun Tzu is a perfect example of that because Shumabuku studied under some great masters and then he took that knowledge and put his stamp on Ishinryu Karate with the Sun Tzu Kata, and it's practiced by people all over the world. That kata is practiced by people all over the world. Amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for calling in. I will then tell you, tomorrow night we'll be back 11 o'clock. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll probably pick up this same topic again, because it is just a worthy cause. Speaking to other martial artists that may be listening, they may be thinking, you know, he mentioned an epiphany. When did you realize that you should write your journey, write about your journey? And I answered that question when Sensei Nagel passed away, because I realized at that point his time stopped. And he was such a great karateka that his journey, through my eyes and through the eyes of people that were around me, should be documented, because he was something.
Very true.
And that they allowed us to share. Last night on my program, we were talking about cross-training, and Greg basically asked me the question, you know, about cross-training. And the way we did that back in the day was we went to visit others, and others came to visit us. And not only Ishinu stylists, but all different kinds of disciplines. So that was our exposure to cross-training. When we would go visit, let's say, a Doc Powell, a Sensei La Puppet, and the list goes on and on. And especially O-Sensei Duncan, because he was on Long Island, and so were we at the time. And we got to, you know, cross-train. And then you would realize that over the next couple of classes, you would realize that you would start to, you know, work on those techniques, and you would start to incorporate them in your Jukumite session, in your Ippon Kumite session. So it was really special, and that's how I cross-trained. And now the way you do it today is you sign up at all of these different and especially now martial arts. I think the number was there's 15 million practitioners of martial arts in the United States alone. And I think the sensei said that if every one of them does one Google search a month, that's 15 million searches. You know what I mean? So, you know, if you amortize that over time, these little programs that we're building become like a documented stamp on our lineage, because that's what we're talking about. That's what we're promoting. And I just feel so strongly about that, because I know my sensei, since, you know, when Don Nagel passed away, he left the AOKA to my sensei. You had mentioned, Grandmaster Sergeant, that now my sensei has given me his school. And it's my responsibility to those men to do what they asked me to do, number one, and then number two, take it a step further and actually write it out so that it's there forever. And these little things that we're doing contribute to the written word.
Yes, sir, they do. Absolutely.
So, Soke said, do you think that these new ways now are actually part of the pen? And I do. The more and more I think about it, the more and more we spend time to build these sessions together as a team, you realize that, if it turns out that in 100 years from now or 500 years from now, that these little pieces are still in existence, I mean, can you imagine somebody 500 years from now listening to this? That we were talking about guys like Peter Urban, Don Nagel, all of these people. I mean, it would just be, you know, paying homage to our masters is just a wonderful thing because of the sacrifice, which is what I said on the program tonight. I would do it just because they sacrificed what they sacrificed to give us what they gave us.
Absolutely. I mean, when you understand the definition of a sensei is one who has come before.
And then when you deal with the meaning of ancestors, you know, you're dealing with those who have gone on before. So, you know, you got to tie those in together. Our teachers were true senseis. They came before us. They have made their transition now. And now, in order to keep their legacy in place and keep it moving forward and to share who they are with the generations that are coming up, then these talk shows are indeed significant, and they are going to be those books, you know, unwritten, but always being able to be heard.
Mm. Now, Greg, I don't know if you know the gentleman who called in tonight, Lucky Mangione, but his dad, Sensei Carl Mangione, when I moved to North Carolina, I had found out some information about what had transpired around Sensei Mangione. And I don't know if you heard the portion of the program where Lucky thanked me for doing what I did for his dad. And again, you know, I felt a responsibility as a voice in Isshinru to make sure that his legacy goes down, you know, just the way he laid it out. Carl was very strict about certain things when it comes to his martial arts background. He come up through the ranks through Don Bohan, Papasan, which is what they called him. So we felt it our responsibility to do the right thing by Sensei Carl. And, you know, that was his son who called in tonight. And
wow.
Like I said to him, boy, that was a surprise. I never thought that you would that I would hear your voice. But he did. He called in tonight, and you don't know how much that fills my heart, because I really loved his father. His father was very good to me, and we just celebrated you know, his life by doing what we did for him. And like I said to Lucky tonight, when I asked Sensei Ed McGrath, it was a no-brainer. He said to me, no problem. And I got some flack for it, but I, you know, I stood up for, you know, for my position, and I did what I did for him.
Great. That's great.
So, again, thank you for calling in, Grandmaster Daryl Sargent. And Sensei Greg Molina, I'm going to do this. Let me just put this at the end. 1 second.
The Martial Arts History Museum is the first of its kind in the world, and it only exists with your support. Give generously to the museum and always listen to Sidekick Talk Radio.
That's right, Michael Matsuda. Always listen to Sidekick Talk Radio with your host, Shihan Alan Woodman, and his co-host, Renchi Timmy Prisk, every Wednesday at 12 noon, every Sunday at 6 p.m. for 2 hours each show. And to speak to the host, you can dial 347-237-4818. Now, he is asking for those bios. He is compiling 500 names of masters around the world, and I've been asking for this. We are the 11th day of January already. So please, the Sidekick Publications team is working very hard to compile 500 names, so you have to submit your bios with high-resolution photographs and contact information, and you use Sensei Alan Woodman at yahoo.com. You can also use Sidekick Publications at yahoo.com. And when you submit the bios, please make sure you don't copy and paste information, because they run into copyright restrictions when you do that. So make sure you type up a fresh bio of either your sensei, yourself, or maybe one of your instructors that has all of what they need to be in a book, which means they have to serve the community, they have to be a documented martial artist. All of the information that you submit has to be truthful, accurate, and concise. Again, make sure you submit high-resolution photographs. Don't take a photograph off of a website and submit that because they won't be able to put it in the book. There are copyright restrictions when you take things off of the Internet and try to use them in a printed format, so don't do that. Take fresh pictures and make sure that you take high-resolution